Hello, everybody. Welcome back into your latest episode of Locked On Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, your host, Evan Sedrin, joined by our special guest on today's show, George Brimmer, the Herald Bulletin. George, how are you doing today?
Great. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Always enjoy having you on. I know the listeners do as well. George, you provide excellent analysis for the Colts over at the Herald Bulletin. You guys should go read him and follow him on Twitter at GM Brimmer if you're not already done so. But today, we're going to talk through with George who the Colts stack up against in the AFC South this year and the AFC overall. We can probably just exclude Jacksonville at this point, George. We probably know what the plans are because they seem like they're definitely a Trevor Lawrence tank race with what they've done to their roster this year. But starting off the AFC South for a second, George, I think it's going to stack up this year because I know coming into last year, the Andrew Luck bombshell happened and the Colts still were in the thick of it into December. But how do you feel like the moves they made this offseason have kind of maybe separated them or maybe brought them closer to teams like Tennessee and Houston?
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be a really, really interesting year in the division. I mean, obviously, Jacksonville's got another rebuilding plan going on, so I agree with you. You kind of leave them out of the conversation for the time being. But I think both Tennessee and Houston have really intriguing situations going on right now. I mean, obviously, the Titans want to continue the momentum from that postseason run, getting the AFC Championship game, really looking like a dominant running team. Their defense played really well, but so much of that depends on Ryan Tannehill coming out, replicating what he did in the final 10 games of the season last year, and then Derrick Henry staying healthy and staying as productive as he was at the end of the year. And, you know, neither of those things are a given, obviously. And so I think that's going to be a really interesting team to watch to see how they can develop around that. And then Houston, they had probably one of the most tumultuous off seasons of any team in the league. When you trade DeAndre Hopkins, just that move alone was going to be controversial to get back so little in return. It's going to be interesting to see how the players react to that. I know we've seen them start to rally around, you know, Coach Bo Bryant already, but how will things go? You know, if they get into a point in the season where they hit some adversity and you're missing that number one receiver, you know, how's that going to play in the locker room? All that's very difficult to really put a finger on right now as we sit here in June. But I think it's going to be a really interesting situation to watch. We know both those teams, the Titans and the Texans, have talented rosters. We expect both of them to be in the race, I would think, all year long. And I think the Colts now stack up really well with both of them. I think when you go in and you bring in DeForest Buckner, and we've talked a lot about him already this spring, but you can't say enough about that move. There's more expected from him than any player coming into this team that I can remember, certainly in recent memory. I'm trying to go back to an acquisition where the team was this upfront about the importance of him. You know, he's expected to really change everything about this defense, increase the pass rush, to shut down the running game. And if he's able to do that and they're able to take this defense to the next level, it'll be really interesting to see what that looks like on the field. I think everybody knows for all the offensive struggles last year at the end of the season, and there were plenty, the defense – deserves its fair share of the blame too for the collapse. You know, there were some games, and you go back to Tampa Bay, New Orleans in particular, a couple other contests where, you know, quite frankly, the defense was not competitive. It was not a situation where you felt like the Colts were really even NFL average or even close to that towards the end of the year. And so I think Buckner can come in and shore that up, make them a consistently good defensive team. Changes everything about this franchise. And then offensively, obviously, we know the Colts want to run the ball. We know they've got a great offensive line if they stay healthy. I think that's one of the big parts of this offseason for the Colts as well. You know, depth there is very suspect. But they can keep those five offensive line starters healthy. They should be able to run the ball. You add Jonathan Taylor to a mix that already had Marlon Mack and Nyheim Hines and Jordan Wilkins, and you feel really good about their running game. And so if Phillip Rivers can just do enough to keep defenses honest, you know, make enough big plays down the field with the addition of Michael Pittman, this could be a very explosive, very versatile offense. And when you put those two things together, I think if everything goes right, if Rivers is more like the 2018 version of himself than the 2019 version, if Buckner can live up to these incredible expectations, and if the rookies and Taylor and Pittman can come in and make the kind of difference that it looks like on paper they could, there's no reason that this team can't compete for an AFC South title, be right in the mix all year long.
When you look, George, at Tennessee and Houston, who do you trust more this year? Like you mentioned, DeAndre Hopkins trade, I think, was one more lopsided trades I can remember just from a team-to-team standpoint. You lose a big weapon on their side, but you, of course, still have Deshaun Watson on board there. I really do believe that Tennessee is the overall better team, but who knows what Ryan Tannehill. We could see some regression. Same with Derrick Henry, a lot more tread on tires this year. Who do you trust more between, like, the elite quarterback in Houston, Deshaun Watson, or the overall better team in Tennessee?
Yeah, you know, I think just going back to what we've seen from the league, especially the last 5-6 years, I tend to go with quarterback and with Deshaun Watson. I still think he's a guy that's on the rise. I mean, you look at what he was able to do last year and taking his game up another notch, staying healthy. You know, I think he gives them a chance. I know it's cliche, but he gives them a chance to win every week. Just him being out there on the field, the plays that he can make, I think he makes the biggest difference. And I agree with you 100%. I think Tennessee, if you're taking the roster top to bottom, Tennessee's a deeper team. They're a more versatile team. They've got more talent throughout the lineup. But I think Houston has those big star players, and it feels like that's kind of where the NFL is moving. Go back and look at the Super Bowl, and I think that was the argument there. San Francisco had the more complete team. Kansas City had Patrick Mahomes in the best player on the field. And in the end, you know, in the fourth quarter, it was Mahomes making plays that won that game. I kind of feel the same way when I look at Houston, Tennessee, and I would lean with Watson in that direction.
How would you, I guess, I know it's early, like you said, George, it's middle of June as we're recording this, and there's still a lot of time between now and football season officially beginning in the NFL, but how would you tier up these three teams, George? Do you think it's really close? Do you think the Colts are in their own tier, so to say? I know they haven't proven on the field yet, but I feel like on paper, the Colts are clearly the best team in the AFC South. What about you?
Yeah, I think it's going to be close, and I think you got to give Houston credit. I mean, I always feel like every year recently, Houston, there's some knock on them, but I think it's something like 4 out of the last 5 years they've won the division. You know, they had their problems in the postseason. There's no doubt about that. Haven't been able to get past that divisional round. Big stumbling block for them. And as we just mentioned, they've had their issues this offseason that could affect them. But I feel like they're the king, and I think that's the way it works in the NFL. You know, until somebody comes in and knocks you off that perch. And I feel like every offseason, there's always some reason why, you know, for a while it was Jacksonville with that young defense and what they were building there. And then Tennessee with talent across their roster. And now Indianapolis with all the moves that they've made this offseason. There's always somebody who's kind of the more popular pick. But more often than not, since Bill O'Brien's been there, Houston's a team that comes out and gets the job done when all the chips are down. So I think you got to make them the favorite. But I think the Colts are right there with them. And I think we've seen, you know, really over the last 6-7 years, those two games that they play each season are highly competitive games. And more often than not, the team that comes out on top there wins the division. So I don't really think it's going to be much different this year. I think Tennessee is going to play much more of a spoiler role than they have in the past. And the Titans might even be able to, depending on Ryan Tannehill's ability to replicate last season, the Titans might even be able to win this division this year. But I more often than not, as smart money is, it comes down to the Colts and the Texans. And I really think that's probably what's going to happen again this year. I think they play each other within a 3 or 4 week span in December. So it's going to be probably two really hotly contested tight football games. And it feels like that's how it always is when you talk about this division.
Colts fans, go to rockauto.com right away if you want to save money on your next investment in your car, because when you look at the competition compared to Rock Auto, it's not even close compared to how much you save on your finances. For example, a fuel pump assembly with your competitor is over $350, but with Rock Auto, it's only around $215. So if you want to have that extra money in your pocket, go to rockauto.com right away, because they help you in so many facets, on so many ways, all in the convenience of a website. It's a family-owned business and serving auto part customers online for 20 years. You can go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and price you prefer on your vehicle. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the standard professionals and do-it-yourselfers as well. So why spend twice as much on the same parts you can just go get at rockauto.com? Go to Rock Auto right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How'd You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Again, it's Write Locked On, LOCKEDON, in their How'd You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Colts fans, this is a great deal. You should go take advantage of it right away. Absolutely. Agree with you there, George. We're going to go on from the AFC South here and move into some other teams that can be in the same tier right below them as far as the Colts go this upcoming year. And let's go to the AFC East for a second, George, because I know the Jamal Adams trade rumors yesterday, they're not going to be involved in this because I don't think the Jets are really a playoff contender this year. But New England, they still could be maybe on the outside looking in, or maybe they're just barely sneaking this year. Jared Stidham could lead them to a wild card, so to say. But I think it's going to be a big drop off with Tom Brady not in New England anymore. But Buffalo, I want to hit on Buffalo for a second, George, because I feel like that team, if we're talking about a team that the Colts are very similar to, I think Buffalo is very similar as far as the defense they're trying to build. They have the rushing attack there. They have the quarterback in place. Josh Allen is inconsistent. But I feel like Buffalo could be a team like the Colts who, if they do get in January, they can make some noise.
Absolutely. I think the Bills are the team to watch in the AFC East. It'll be interesting to see how they react with this kind of pressure on their shoulders. I think they made playoffs two of the last 3 years. But, you know, they've always kind of, as long as Tom Brady was there in New England, there was really not a lot of thought that anybody other than the Patriots were going to win that division. For two decades, that held true. And so I think there's some freedom in that for the other teams. You know, you're not being counted on to go out there and have a big year. And so if you have a slip up or something, you know, there's not fans already calling for the head coach's job in week two or three or anything like that. I think it'll be interesting to see how Buffalo handles that this year, because I think there's going to be a real impression out there that the Bills are the class of the AFC East and that they should be a team that can be talked about as a dark horse Super Bowl candidate. That defense has been outstanding. I think since Sean McDermott got there, they've really just been on the rise every year. And I think they're probably in a point where they feel like, much like the Colts, they have the pieces in place to really do execute the vision that they have as a football team. And I think, really, to me, the Colts, the Titans, the Bills, all three of them want to win in similar ways. They want to punish you with their running game. They want to make plays in the passing game when they're available. They want to get things done, you know, on offense. But really, they want to be able to lean on you and in the fourth quarter wear you out and beat you up. And I think what's going to be interesting to me is I think the Colts, amongst those three teams, the Colts have the ability, we'll see how it plays out, they have the ability to have the best quarterback right now. I think Tannehill obviously played at a career high level last year. It's going to be really interesting to see how he does now that he's got the contract, the expectations back on his shoulders. And Josh Allen is still developing. You know, he's a year three kid. He's still trying, I think, to prove that he can throw the ball consistently. He's done a good job running. And he's done a good job putting the Bills in positions to make some plays. But I still don't think he's the guy that you expect going back to the Super Bowl. I don't think he's the guy you expect in the fourth quarter with the game on his shoulders to go out there and lead the team and make the big plays and win. Rivers has done that. You know, the question on the Colts side is can Phillip Rivers still do that? And to me, that's what's going to separate those three teams. If Rivers can go out there, and he doesn't have to be an MVP caliber player. He doesn't have to be a Pro Bowl caliber player. If he can go out there and be a high average quarterback who can make consistent big plays, I think it puts him ahead. You know, if you're doing a draft, I think I would take him ahead of the other two quarterbacks. When you look at the rest of the rosters, I think the Colts match up very well with those two teams.
Real quickly, George, because this is the first time, I think, in Belichick's career since Tom Brady is not going to be there. Just, I want to write out the Patriots, but just I feel like he's almost like the Greg Popovich of the NFL, so to say. He's such a good coach that I don't want to write him off just yet. But what's your thoughts on New England this year, George? Do you think they could surprise everyone and have like a Matt Castle type year with Jarrett Stidham again? Or do you think the magic is wearing off in New England?
Yeah, I think it's going to be fascinating to watch what happens up there this year, because we've seen, again, for two decades what Bill Belichick's capable of. It feels like every year we count them out for different reasons. This year is definitely the biggest of those reasons, not having Tom Brady around anymore and trying to figure out how to piece together a defense that really was disappointing the second half of last year. It's going to be, I think, extraordinarily intriguing over there. And I kind of tend to lean the same way you do. I don't know that you want to bet against Bill Belichick. I don't know very many people have had much success doing that. I think it's still possible that New England could go in there and win that division. I think a Matt Castle type of year is definitely a possibility. But I think it's also realistic to think they could struggle. You know, this is a team that really was kind of held together with spit and polish a little bit the last couple years. But, you know, saying that, one of those years they won the Super Bowl. So it's you never, ever want to underestimate what Bill Belichick's capable of doing.
going to the AFC North now, George, of course, the Ravens, and we'll get on the Chiefs later on. Those two are obviously the top of the AFC right now, and the Colts and whoever else in the AFC are a tier below them, because right now Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes do run this conference. But you look at Pittsburgh, I feel like that's the most intriguing thing to talk about in the AFC North for a second here, because I think the Colts clearly are a more talented team than the Cleveland Browns. But the Steelers here, Ben Roethlisberger's come back from his elbow injury. They added in more weapons on offense. They added Minkah Fitzpatrick last year. You know what happened last year when the Colts played in Pittsburgh? They barely lost there with Brian Hoyer, a quarterback. But how do you feel like Pittsburgh could be this year? Because they could be one of those teams, almost like the Colts, who sneaky additions could have them near or right where the Colts could be as far as into January goes.
Absolutely. I feel like Pittsburgh's one of the more underrated teams from this offseason, because they had a quiet offseason, as they often do. I mean, this is not a team that really goes big in free agency. They don't tend to make big moves up in the draft. And when they went and they made the deal for Fitzpatrick, one of the reasons I think it caught everybody's attention is it was so un-Pittsburgh-like. You know, they usually don't make that kind of major splash, but that paid off for them handsomely. I think he showed that he was more than worth the opportunity that they gave him. And I think it kind of quietly, I don't know if how many people really realized that defense last year was top five in points allowed, top five in yards allowed. Both those stats, I don't think anybody else was able to do that last season. And to see that and then look at the offensive side, where I think they were 30th because they had a rotate. And the same problem the Colts did. You know, they had a quarterback who they were leaning on, who they were expecting to do really good things for them, who got an injury very early in the year, didn't play. They ended up having to go with two guys in Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges, who did not really live up to those expectations. And the offense just simply couldn't keep up its end of the bargain. When you look at that and you realize that Ben Roethlisberger is returning, and it's the same way as it is with Phillip Rivers. How much does Big Ben have left? But if he can go out there and he can be the guy who threw for 5,000 yards in 2018 or even close to that, the offensive improvement that you would think comes along with that, I feel like Pittsburgh is a team that's probably not getting the attention it should. If they stay healthy, if that defense can play at a level similar to where it was a year ago, and if Roethlisberger can come out and even be half of what he's been in his career, I think this is a team that's going to be one to reckon with.
Let's hit on, George, those top two teams I mentioned in the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl champs this past year, and the Baltimore Ravens, who were one and done the playoffs this year. But, of course, MVP Lamar Jackson, they had an insane offense and defense this past year, and added even more onto the defense side this past year. But I really do wonder, George, how much separation do you think there is between the Ravens and the Chiefs compared to the rest of the AFC?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I think Pittsburgh can be closer than people are giving them credit for if everything goes right. I think the Colts can be closer than people may give them credit for if everything goes right. I think Houston, if everything goes right, can get into that conversation. But these two don't have those ifs. And I can't remember who it was. It may have been Bill Parcells. It seems like most of these sayings kind of come from him. But I know that there was somebody who said when you're looking at the preseason prospects for your team, that's the first place you start. What are the ifs? This team will be good if. This team will win the division if. And how many of those ifs you have, that kind of determines what the outlook is for the season. You know, how many things have to go right, basically, for you to end up accomplishing the goals that you want to accomplish. And I feel like in Kansas City and Baltimore, those are really, really short lists. Those are not, the ifs there are basically if Patrick Mahomes stays healthy and if Lamar Jackson continues on the, incredibly elevated path that he's been on. Those are not really big question marks. And I think the other teams all, as we talked about before, the other teams all have much bigger questions. You know, I think there's much more reason to wonder whether Phillip Rivers is going to play at a high level in 2020. I don't think this is breaking news in any way than there is to wonder whether Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson will. The chemistry issues that we talked about in Houston don't exist in Kansas City or Baltimore. The coming back from injury situation that you have is not just Roethlisberger and Pittsburgh. I think that's the other side of it. Juju Smith-Schuster and James Conner are both coming off of injury. You know, what are they going to look like? Where are they going to be at in their recoveries, especially in off seasons that have been mostly virtual? But really with Kansas City and Baltimore, you don't have to do much imagination here. You don't have to think hard to see, potential AFC championship team, potential Super Bowl champion. Obviously Kansas City just did it. Baltimore had the best record in the conference last year. And then they went out and they added to that defense. And I think when you look at that game against Tennessee, and I know that that's been the playoff game for the Ravens against Tennessee, that's been dissected many different ways. The biggest disappointment I think that the Ravens had is that they got beat up. They got bullied in that game. It's not at all what they expected to happen. And I think they went out and they took steps to make sure that doesn't happen again. When you bring in Calais Campbell from Jacksonville, I think that was one of the more underrated moves of the offseason. This guy has been a monster for, you know, what, 15 years now in the league. I think he's going to come in and he's going to make that Ravens defense closer to what it was when they were winning Super Bowls. I really think Baltimore and Kansas City are not just two of the best teams in the AFC, two of the best teams in this league. And really, it, like I said, it doesn't take much to see how things could go right there.
Colts fan, do you want to get your hands on the best tasting protein bar ever? Go get one with Built Bar. It's a protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar with 16 amazing flavors, 8 chocolate nut flavors, and 8 chocolate nut free flavors. The bar's covered in 100% chocolate, and they're so soft and easy to chew. The Built Bar is great for a health conscious person out there. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. For example, a mint brownie has 15 grams of protein and only 4 grams of sugar, all in only 110 calories. So that really is a great tasting snack that'll tide you over all in a little amount of calorie intake. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, get $10 off your first order of Built Bars. Use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Yeah, the clear-cut tier one in the AFC is Baltimore and Kansas City, but that tier two you've been talking through for the last few minutes, George, it seems like reading the tea from what your answer is here, it seems like you're pretty bullish on the Colts, but also teams like Pittsburgh and maybe even Buffalo or Tennessee. It feels like those teams are all in that same cluster there, but it really could be whoever has the most luck and the most momentum, I guess, and has injuries not go their way. It could be a situation where we could see the Colts finish as a three seed or even higher, or maybe it's like Pittsburgh's surprise or one. Who do you think is atop that cluster in tier two?
Yeah, I think that's going to be really interesting. See, Pittsburgh's biggest problem I think that they have is you're in Baltimore's division. You're going to have to play the Ravens twice. And really, that division is I think, going to be pretty tough. The Colts play the whole division this year as well. Cleveland is I think, reason to believe that they're going to improve again this year. Obviously, last year, the expectations were through the roof. They weren't able to meet them. But they've got some pieces in place still. That's a talented roster. I think if they can get some of their locker room issues together, that's a big question for them. Then they can definitely be a team that is going to be a factor, at least in that division. And then Cincinnati, from a week-to-week basis, they're probably not going to be the toughest team to play. But you know, if you catch them on the wrong weekend and Joe Burrow catches fire, they've got some talent at the skill positions with Joe Mixon, obviously drafted T. Higgins. I think it's Tyler Boyd has had a great run for them the last couple of years, kind of quietly, for some bad Cincinnati teams. And then A.J. Green's back. You know, if he's healthy, what I'm saying is I think the Bengals for a fourth-place team, for a team that just picked number one overall, is not going to be the complete pushover that you might expect. I think that division's really tough. I think that's going to be something that Pittsburgh's going to have to deal with, that it may hold them a little bit further back. But then, again, as we just talked about, the AFC South is going to be a pretty competitive division this year as well. So maybe Buffalo ends up with a little bit of an advantage there. I mean, we've talked for years about New England's advantage because the AFC East is not been, you know, a very competitive division for two decades. And maybe Buffalo gets that edge this year. Maybe they have a chance to have a little bit better regular season record just because they might have a schedule that's a little more conducive to that.
Yeah, I really think, George, when you look at this, this last one I had for appreciate the time as always, you look at this Colts team and the moves they made this offseason, we get further and further away from free agency in the draft. Do you feel like now they've kind of built a team? I feel like DeForest Buckner, like you mentioned at the top of the show, is kind of the equalizer here as far as you have that guy, the interior pressure now, so to say, on Mahomes, on Lamar Jackson, where do you feel more and more confident now with the moves they made this offseason in Indianapolis that they could go into a Kansas City or they can go into a Baltimore? And if the Rivers can play that kind of game manager role where you can keep it out of his hands with a tough running game of Taylor and Mack, they kind of have the pieces in place on paper, so to say, George, to maybe make that kind of run we saw at Tennessee last year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you go back through the two seasons that the Frank Reich's here, I think the two games that most illustrate what they want to do and what they were trying to build for this year were obviously the Kansas City game last year. There was a lot, obviously, about that was unique. The Chiefs weren't at full strength. The Colts were far from full strength as well. But then also the Washington game in his first season. They went in there week two. They had Andrew Luck. Luck made plays, obviously, when he was asked to, but I think he only threw for about 170, 190, maybe low 200 yards. It was a day where really the running game and the defense held the day. I can't remember the final score. It feels like it was 10 to 14 point difference, somewhere in that neighborhood. They were ahead by about two scores most of the game, comfortably ahead, but it wasn't kind of a blowout situation. It was just a situation where they went in on the road, imposed their will against the other team, ran the ball the way they wanted to, made big defensive stops, and got big plays in the passing game when they need them. I think that is, I mean, that's probably the formula for most teams, but particularly here with the Colts, those two games, I think that's what they want to see. Now, whether or not they're able to do that on a consistent basis, that's why we play the games, right? But I think if you're going back through and you're looking for what the 2020 Colts, in theory, what they should look like, what the goal is, I think those two football games are a really good place to start.
George, always appreciate the time talking to you. And you can follow him on Twitter at GM Bremer. Go read his work, as always, over at the Herald Bulletin. George, appreciate the time.
No problem. Thanks a lot.